As coaches, we understand that tackling is a fundamental skill that requires proper training. Explore the shoulder tackling system that can be immediately implemented into your practices at every level of play. Working with the NFL, Seattle Seahawks, AFCA, and USA Rugby, USA Football's shoulder tackling course gives you an inside look into this unified, consistent approach toward tackling. Take the free course today at www.usafootball.com/podcast tackling.
Hi, this is Dan Gonzalez. I'm a football consultant in the passing game, but I'm always a Longhorn. You're listening to Keith Grabowski's football podcast with USA Football.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I am joined today by offensive systems consultant, passing guru, a guy who really thinks about the game in a way that I enjoy, Dan Gonzalez. Dan, it's great to have you back on the podcast.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Dan, we're at the point in the off season where we've kind of finished up heading out and going to clinics and seeing some of the new ideas and all the things that people are doing out there, both on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. And it's that time to, you know, take some of the evaluation we had postseason, take our new information and start to put it together into our menu of what we might use in spring install for those who do have spring install or summer or fall camp. And I think you have a great process for that. It's something I've seen you do. And in general, you develop what you call your hit list. Talk to us a little bit about what your hit lists are.
Well, okay, so there's two different things that we have. One is a hit list, which is a theory of attacking coverages. And what we do in our hit list is like dissecting like the smaller portions of a coverage. So, for example, not just attacking curl flat, but how we're specifically going to attack the drops or the actions of different techniques that are being taught. So like the inside backer or the outside backer in cover three, or how we're going to attack the Sam and the Mike in match coverage. So we're going to create those kinds of things with hit lists. There's another thing that we have called ready lists, which are basically just a progression of plays or a listing of plays that we are going to have in our system from each, you know, stemming from each pattern concept that we have or pattern structure we have. We have seven different pattern structures, and we use those to kind of gain a starting point for planning in the, not only in the spring season and your spring install, but through the regular season as well.
So those are two great tools. And I think, God, it was a long time ago, Dan. I remember hearing Rich Rod, when he first took the job at West Virginia, talking about answer sheets that they would build in the off season. And obviously this is kind of that exact same type of thing. What's the process that goes into each of those, to your hit list and to your ready list?
Sure. One of the main things that we do is we make sure that we are able to, you know, from basically what we study, and we look at things that people are doing around football. I'll always pick out the top dozen or so college teams and probably the top 5 to 10 NFL offenses to study. And, you know, kind of go into specific things that they do situationally, like third downs or how they're getting somebody open, you know, on this route concept, or how they're attacking this type of defense that they're seeing in college football, or sometimes how they're doing things in general, how they're blending their offense together. And when there are things that are, when their systems are most like what we do, then it becomes very easy to see how things translate. And, you know, because of my familiarity with, like, you know, John Makovic's offense, who I played for in college, he was a disciple of Tom Landry. And so the multiple shifting and all that kind of stuff, and also, you know, just the NFL playbook in general and the West Coast offense and those kinds of things. I'm able to take those things. There's a lot of background to what we do in those things. And so we're able to kind of mix and match and sort, you know, what kind of things fit. And sometimes it's just a technique. Sometimes it's a pattern adjustment so that we don't derail our teaching. And that's the main point of all this. So one of the things that we saw was the way that a lot of people are getting the seam read taken away from them. And so the seam read, as you know, is something really, really big in our offense.
Right.
So what I did was I went through and I went through things and tried to find out how people were getting seam reads, okay, how they were still getting them, or when they were getting them taken away from them, what the next answer was. And so these are things that I have, you know, with my clients have already like been informing them, you know, hey, the seam read nowadays in football, because of the techniques, it's a great zone beater route, right? It's an all purpose zone route, but what do we have to do? What do we have to put around it to make it effective versus all coverages? And then when those things are being taken away from us, what route adjustments can we put in so that we're not wasting our time? In other words, our practice structure can still remain the same and we're not teaching anything new and we're going to basically go to something else that we already work on all the time anyway. So those are the kinds of things that that I look at, you know, what I've specifically been working on this off season. It could be technique on a screen pass. It could be, you know, an adjustment in blocking in the running game. It could be a formation matchup or situation, you know, or, you know, like how people will attack third downs or keep their third down menu tight. Those are things that we're looking at.
Dan, I guess to take a step back in this process, you know, coming out of the season, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I don't recall who said it, but the key to finding better answers is to ask better questions up front. So with that in mind, you know, thinking of your breakdown of your past season, when you're looking at that, what questions do you really want to focus on that are going to lead you into this process of developing your answers, developing your ready list, developing your hit list?
Okay. Well, one thing that is, that I'm sure hits with everybody or can resonate with everybody is, how do you attack the perimeter of a defense? You know, I talk to my clients all the time and they're always asking, you know, we weren't very good running the ball outside. You know, how do we attack the perimeter of the defense? So that would be like an example of a question. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we would look at different things and different answers and different things in our system that are already existing. And number two, you would take a look at studying people, like, for example, you know, the way the Rams use Todd Gurley's zone, you know, and study those things. And there's some commonalities that you can find in all levels of football, but I'm just using that as a term or as an example that, you know, maybe the broader audience would have an idea of, right? When most people have seen the Rams in football, right? And most people have an idea that he had a really successful year, how they used it. So one of the things that you would look at is, yeah, they're running him outside. You know, they run a ton of the old Denver Broncos, you know, stretch zone type stuff. However, rarely is he actually cutting outside the tackle, right? He's not getting outside. They're attacking the perimeter of the defense, and he's making a cut up underneath the tackle. So it becomes, you know, then it becomes a situation of, how do you stress or affect the outside portion of the defense? And a lot of those things are already pre-existing in a lot of football at the high school level, right? And so it just becomes a thing of maybe honing down and understanding, hey, we already affect the defense in this way, and it doesn't really affect us, or it shouldn't matter to us whether we're cutting up inside the tackle for 6 yards or whether we bounce it around him and, you know, just to say we're running outside. So it becomes a matter of really examining what it is that we want. Okay. And, you know, people have questions in the screen game or in the, you know, most of mine come in the drop back passing game, of course. So So it becomes, what are easier ways to get this person the ball? How do we, I've never had a tight end before, and now I do. What things work to get him the ball in the system? And so we would look at things like that. Most of them are pre-existing, but there are, there are always questions to be answered. I know that in high school football, one of the things the last couple of years has been the predominance of match coverage, or the way that people are playing quarters differently to 3-by-1 sets. And a lot of people around here, the way I call it, it's just called match coverage to a 3-by-1 set. Making sure that we have our answers and our ways of creating space within those things, they're not the same answers or the same problems as plain old cover three or cover two. And so, you got to understand those things first. But again, you don't want to deviate from your normal teaching, right? You don't want to, what you've ingrained in your system as, hey, this is a main part of our offense. How do we make those reps all count? And that's to me what the challenge is.
Absolutely. So, looking at the process and what you're going to come up with, first of all, resource-wise, a lot of guys out there saying, well, geez, I don't have access to maybe that film that he's looking at. Honestly, how are you able to get the film that you look at and start to break these things down?
I think it's just networking with coaches. I think that, especially one of the best ways to get film, if you're a high school coach, and I know that there's a lot of places out there with social media now where there are boards where people, I know there's a group on Twitter that I'm a part of. They always share ideas. Like, they'll have a thing daily. So if you go to my Twitter, you can just find it. I get tagged on a lot of questions and things like that, and some of it's sharing, and then it's developing relationships anyplace else. I'm a high school football coach, and I know people that maybe have, really good prospect players. One of the easiest ways to get film is to simply ask a coach that's recruiting you, hey, how about some film? And it's easier now to get to people because now it's sharing a link, right? You don't have to wait on a VHS tape to be run and then mailed to you. And now it's right. So, it's easier now. But again, it's just what we do as coaches. It's developing relationships. And part of it also is, and here's the hard part of it, when it's people that you know and trust, most of the time when people share stuff with me, I will tell the person, is this something I can share with people? Or how about, I know these two guys and they would really like to see, is it okay if I share it with these two guys? And based on what that person tells me, I honor that, And so that is one of the things that we always want to do. We always want to hold to the values that are, best practices or best ethics in anything.
Absolutely. And I know, looking at the NFL film, which, you could definitely take some things from there as a high school coach when you start to get into it. I think one of the best things that the NFL makes available is their coaches video through, I actually don't know what it's called right now. It used to be called NFL Rewind. But they have a service that, depending on the time of year you purchase it, I think at this time of the year it's relatively cheap, that you can go through any game and get the coach's video, all 22 video, to be able to see some of the things that they're doing. So if there's a particular team that you like what they did, it's a chance to go back through and see that instead of, from the television view, to see the all 22 video and be able to study some of those things as well. And then, a lot of the games, the college games, you can go back on YouTube, and they exist out there somewhere as well.
Right. And Keith, one of the things I constantly am doing is looking at the Fox broadcasts of college football games are almost, they're not as high up, but they're almost co-22 films. Like, so you can see most of the stuff on Fox's broadcast of college football. You can tell a lot of the stuff that's going on. So, and to me, it's simply like during the football season, it's finding out what games are available to me locally. And then, of course, you can catch so much on replay. But it's simply a matter of TiVoing those things or DVRing those things, whatever you call it, and being able to go. And, you know, there's certain guys that I always like to look at, of course, that they are, you know, like staples. And then there's other things that year to year change, you know, that really, really do some neat stuff. And of course, with the coaching carousel, we follow people, right? We follow this coach moves from here to there, you know, just what they're doing. So like, you know, last year it was Jeff Braum moving to Purdue. And I'm sure a lot of people are looking at what Nebraska is going to be doing this spring. So because of all the availability sources, you know, televising spring games and things like that, even though people might not show a lot in spring practice, or especially if their spring game is televised, you can get a flavor of what their base is, mm-hmm. you know, or what their teaching was. And so, you know, and sometimes it's also about, you know, getting out on the road. And sometimes I think that going and visiting people, is a great thing. But that's also something that I try to provide, because I deal with a lot of small schools with small budgets that aren't able to get out to all these places. And, you know, and I'm able to provide these services ongoing and be like, yeah, you know, this is how Team X provides this answer. This is how, you know, this is how we can augment it and apply it to what we're doing. So that's one of the neat things, is we're not locked in, and I'm constantly, you know, one of my clients will tell you, I'm constantly sending updates of things and, you know, so like right now, probably for the last month, I've been sending updates as far as what my spring pass install would look like, you know, and mm-hmm. the answers that I derived over the bowl season and early January, you know, when people are in clinics and stuff, are seen a lot there. But, you know, then you can see the commonalities as you send more film. The funny thing is a lot of people are doing the same things. I mean, there's only so much you can do, with 11 people, you know, on offense and you have a certain number of eligibles, but there's a lot of commonalities, and the interesting way is how people put their own spin on it.
Absolutely. Well, Dan, you mentioned having your staples. Who are some of the staples that, you know, every off season you're going to make sure you study up what they're doing, maybe how they've evolved, some of the answers they've come up with?
Yeah. Well, Mike Leach is always at the top of that list, right? Mike Leach is always at the top of the list. Right now, obviously, I watch a lot of Jeff Braum tape from both, you know, anything I can get my hands on from Western Kentucky to Purdue. You know, obviously, the things that are with dynamic offenses, you look at some of the top people and what they've done. You know, I know that you've had Coach Longo on mm-hmm. your podcast, and, you know, the stuff that they did at Sam Houston State still resonates. Okay. And then in the NFL, it's stuff like, you know, what people did with the Rams. I mean, you can go back a few years to what Sean McVay did with the Redskins, and you can see a lot of the same stuff, because it's all West Coast offense principles but the application of it's really different. And the way that, of course, the Patriots obviously create really, really simple things in their passing game by adjusting formations and creating personnel problems for people. I know they have Gronkowski, but the fact that they can do it with wide receivers that are, you know, marginal for any other team, you know, and then go do it on, you know, and get the matchups that they get is unbelievable. And so, you know, those kinds of things we can look at because we have navigation tags to get the quarterback to any part of the pass pattern we want to, or get him to start his read anywhere we want to in the progression. That's how we can account for, you know, where the NFL requires you to be like a 15-year veteran, right? Mm-hmm. Now you don't have that time in high school and in college, but you can certainly direct the quarterback that way. And that's what makes it different with the navigation tags and, you know, because there is no one way of reading. If you are only reading things one way, if you are only a progression reading team, the defense will know that, you know, and they'll play along with you if they're good.
Right.
That's how that stuff gets stopped. Right. If the defense knows I'm going to go A to B to C, then the linebacker's just going to play with you. he'll go take away your A, and when you hitch up, he'll go to B, and then, you know, the defense can play you that way. So you can't have one way of doing it. And so that's the difference in what I think we do and a lot of people do differently. You have to have different answers. Our answers have to be things where the play caller is the one that creates that situation for the quarterback. Because like I said, you don't have 20 hours a day with a guy, right, to study, to give him 700 pass sheets. You just, you know, have your little base, but you can move his eyes where they need to be moved. And that's the key to being different. And that allows you to study and apply all these different things. So I can take a look at Arizona State, or Memphis was a really good example this year of being very, very multiple, doing a lot of things, creating a lot of different situations for their quarterback and being really explosive. Well, I'm not in, you know, I don't teach everything the way they do, but so how can we augment and take those pass structures and put our quarterback's eyes where their guys go, you know, because it can't just be a blind luck. It can't be a guess. And the thing that you don't want to do is be, oh, you know, this is how you get this guy to this read, when it's not the same thing at all. Because I've seen people do that. I've heard people say, oh, we have that, but it's really not that. It's, you know, it's something completely differently because the teaching is different. So that's one of the things that I think that's good.
So, Dan, you make a point there in being able to move from, you know, all these ideas you've put together in your hit list, in your ready list, to being able to carry something in your install through to your practice plans that you're going to be able to create that learning. So first part of the question is, how many answers should you go out and find? So taking your seam read as an example, you know, at what point do you feel comfortable that I have enough? Is it going out there and finding everything you can? What does that process look like for you?
Well, that's the biggest part, right? You've really hit the nail on the head there, because you want to take in as much as possible, but at the same time, you need to be able to execute it. So here's what we do most of the time is we take, okay, we have the seam read, and that is for us the bedrock point. And so we want to keep all the teaching the same there. And so what do we have to put around it to make things the same? Okay, what do we want to put around those things to make the teaching the absolute, you know, as much as possible the same? So if it's two or three things, then that might be it. And usually, Keith, it's usually things that already are pre-existing, and that's the really cool part of it. Okay, so these are things that are already, you know, maybe it's a different motion, maybe it's stacking receivers, maybe it's just putting something different on the front side, which we've done from day one. So, or maybe it's what I was alluding to earlier. We have alerts in our system, and basically we will say this, and if we get a different look, we will say alert, and that will be a change in the structure of the play. So it's a lot of, like, you know, it's different from some Mike Leach thing, think about, right? So there's a lot of stuff out there where he, you know, he basically gives the quarterback the total freedom at the line of scrimmage. It's not quite that, because, you know, the players that you're dealing with at the high school level are typically obviously less mature and less maybe equipped to deal with those kinds of situations. But you want to give them alerts to things that they can go to. And the main thing is that everyone's on the same page in the pass pattern, right? Mm-hmm. So those are things that we have built. And really, what we came up with was two answers, okay? One to the field and one to the boundary, and the specific thing that we're talking about, okay? So we came up with one answer when we want a seam read to the boundary. We came up with one answer when we want the seam read to the field. And that's it, you know? And everything else, because, you know, because you still get the, what if they play cover two and all this kind of stuff? Well, you're still allowed to run the ball. You know, you're still allowed to go with your other base things in your offense, like for us, the drives and trails, the shallow crosses. Okay, those are still the same things that you can get to. And so, you know, and then you have to be disciplined enough to, like I said, we have enough answers in our seven core route structures that we don't it's not really a whole lot. It looks like a whole lot, which mm-hmm. it should, but when you break down the teaching, I mean, it's really not. If I can teach it to seventh graders, like we've talked about before, so these answers have been taught already, and we're working on them in 7-on-7. So if these things can be taught, then again, I'm the one that directs it and orchestrates when the alert comes in and all that kind of stuff. But that's, you know, that's it. It's as few answers as possible. All you got to do, all we're trying to do is make sure that your teaching holds up. And so these answers to the boundary in the field are things that can be found in other parts of our offense. And so we're not adding any teaching, and we're not having to delete all those reps that we've had on the seam read over the years. So I think it's a win-win.
So Dan, as you go through that process, you bring it down to those basics right there. You get into the season, obviously that's paying off. That has dividends in your teaching and getting these guys to rep it again and again. When you face something that's a little bit different, that requires a different answer, are you going back to the ready list, the hit list, and potentially looking for something there as an adjustment or tweak to that, or are you trying to stay within those answers that you've already found?
You'll be amazed how many times the answer was already there. So like, you know, oh, well, yeah, you know, but this is even better because it's some really long time. And sometimes I would say 75% of the time, the answer is something that you already do. If you practice enough things, if you have enough flexibility in your system, okay, throwing the football, there are things that are probably already there. So like when I take on new clients, I tell them all the time, you've run some sort of these principles. Even if you're a wing T team, you know, I was in South Carolina a few weeks ago and installing the offense for a team out there. And you know, they had been, you know, the head coach had been a defensive guy, and, you know, show them all the shallow crossing stuff, our drives and trails. And I was like, you know, well, I ran this stuff in high school. And you did too, probably, coach, because he was a defensive guy. He was a wing T guy. And then you show the commonalities with how guys move in the old wing T boot, you know, with the drive, okay, and how it scans from the shallow to the deeper crosser, or the fullback to the, you know, the tight end dragging across in the old wing T boot. And you're showing the commonalities there. And then he was like, oh, yeah, that's exactly the same, because it is. So, you know, that's where the eye movements come from. And they're nothing revolutionary. All this stuff has pre-existed. It's just how you package it, right? And while I do believe that you can't only progression read, I think that it's, you know, those kinds of things solve so much of the problem. And then being able to add and delete things or divide the defense differently for the quarterback is just gives you all the answers. But to get back to your first question, or your basic question, was a lot of the stuff is already in the hit lists, and it's already there, and you've already probably been practicing it if it's installed the way it should be.
Dan, as you go through this process, I think the other thing that needs to be addressed is, you know, this is more than just looking for how those lines are drawn on a whiteboard or on a play diagram. And I see you using the graph paper now on the diagram. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the techniques behind it too, how much time do you spend looking at, you know, what are the techniques that these guys are using to get open on a particular route, or, you know, even going to the run game to, you know, to make that read and cut on a particular run, et cetera. How much time do you spend on that part of it as well?
I think that once you determine, hey, this thing fits, that's the next thing you have to go to, right? Because if you don't have the technique on it, or if the teaching is so different that you'd have to teach everything differently, then that's another big part of, is it worth the investment, right? If it's something that already fits in and all that, you know, Andrew Coverdale does all these great talks, and he might be the best at this, of seeing how things will fit into the system and parts out and saying, hey, yeah, this fits what we do, and do we use it? Or if he finds out that it's too expensive, then he discards it and finds a different answer that's within their offense. But at least the main thing is that this study gives you like a whole new set of ideas that maybe are already pre-existing. So, yeah, it might be something like, I like the way that these people are teaching their option route or their Bronco route. So that might be something that is completely different to what we're doing, and yet they're getting the same effect. Now, you got to just say, hey, do I like the way that these guys are teaching Bronco better than the old way we were doing it? And then you kind of see if you can make that investment. So that is that's the question that you've got to answer. But it's very, you know, there is a rhyme and a reason to it. And if the answer is yes, then you can make that decision. And if not, maybe it spurned a whole other thing of ideas. Maybe we don't need the option route because every time we get this coverage, we get this break. Okay. And it becomes a non-working route. And then we can just tag it that way. So these are things that we have to find out, but you have to always evaluate that. And it's the answer could be yes or no. It's just dependent on the individual situation.
Yeah, I always like to tell my players, my offensive units, it's not as much what we do as how we do it. You know, my example always started with, and what we actually would begin our install with, was our teaching of our four verticals concept and the different things we would build into that to make it a very dynamic, you know, tool in our offense. But a lot really went into the details of how those routes were run, of how you release a defender, you know, all the different scenarios that you have to go through and teach your players and drill and practice. That's what drove a lot of our practice structure then, were the drills we needed to teach, the things we needed to create to teach the different situations that our players were going to see, and to get them all on the same page so they were doing it the right way. And I see this problem. I watched some video with a quarterback to start to teach him how to understand the game better, you know, do that weekly with him. And I'm watching them running some four verticals, and just a complete lack of being on the same page with all the players across the board, that they're missing some detail there. And so as you build this process of answers, it is just so important to build into those details. And then those details really become your practice, part of your practice structure. You have to build them in. You have to create those drills that you're going to get a lot more actually out of drilling those small different situations that get you to the end result than going out there and just running, you know, routes on air, or, hey, we're going to run a ton of 7-on-7 and see what happens organically. That you can drill those things down to the finest details so that your players can be successful within those concepts. And like you said, you'll find that done right, a lot of the answers are right there for you.
That's exactly right. So a lot of what we do, like some of our routes can only be run from certain splits. You know, even if you're an outside receiver or an inside receiver, we tell our guys, hey, you know, on this route, you're lining up here and you're running it from this point. So we don't need to make a different formation call or something like that. You know, we don't have to have a different alignment term, because you know that when you run this route, you are in this split. And so that is one of the things that is, you know, most effective for our teaching.
Absolutely. We'll have to get into some of that, the spacing deals. I think that's a good conversation for another time, Dan. But hey, I want to thank you for taking the time here and really putting a focus now on this next phase of the offseason that coaches need to go through. And want to be sure that we share your information. I know you're involved. You're out there. I believe you go on Coach Huey quite a bit, and you're in the forums. You're also doing a lot on Twitter right now, and you have your own website. So if you could share your Twitter handle and the website where people can specifically go to see what you've done with the example we're using today, the seam read.
Yeah, sure. My Twitter handle is @Dan_Gonzalez16. And my website is GonzalezPassingGame@Weebly.com. And so, if you go to my blog there, the thing that you're referencing is our teaching tape on our seam read that we use for the quarterback. It's, It's one of, you know, many little teaching tapes that we have in our quarterback development package. And so that's just a, like a small example of how we teach. It's a fine, it's a foundational piece of the offense, like I said, but that requires it to be, you know, more detailed.
Dan, it's always great to talk ball with you. I appreciate you taking the time again today and being on the podcast. I don't remember if this is your third or fourth or fifth visit, but it's always great to catch up with you here.
Yes, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.